Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is from our gospel reading from Matthew 16, where Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man." And today we also consider and set our mind on things of God, not things of man. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, when I go to drink coffee, we don't all arrive for coffee at quite the same time. And sometimes when there are four of us at the table and the fifth person arrives, the person shows up and he asks, "Well, what are you talking about today?" And normally there's someone who responds that we're solving the world's problems. It says something like, "Well, we solved the virus and we solved policing today, and maybe later we're going to talk about how to solve Washington. We're going to solve all that today." And well, everybody has a laugh. And yet, how often we think that maybe there's some truth to that joke. That maybe we can't solve all the world's problems, but at least we could make things run a lot better than they do now. You ever felt that way? Maybe about Washington and politics, or maybe about just friends and family and neighbors and their lives. That maybe if they just listened to you, well, things might have worked out better. If only they listened to me. Well, if you have ever felt that way, if you do feel that way, you might have something in common with Peter. Jesus is teaching his disciples that they're going to Jerusalem, that he'd suffer from the authorities, that he'd be killed, and that he'd rise on the third day. But mainly that he'd be killed is what Peter hears. And Peter rebukes him. He tells him, "This shall never be." And Jesus uses some of the strongest words we've ever heard him use. "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me. For you are setting your mind on things, not on things of God, but on things of man." And we like to distance ourselves because those are some strong words. And so we can take this to be mainly about Peter and the disciples. That they had an idea that Jesus was coming to cast out the Romans, that he was coming to set up a kingdom of Israel that might even be the kingdom of God. But what it would be like is like the other kingdoms, but more so. Like the other kingdoms, but with more glory, with more gold, with more riches, with more might. And to Peter and the disciples, that looks a lot better than a cross. In fact, it's the opposite of a cross. Cross is death and shame. Their kingdom that they thought of, they thought they'd see life and glory. And really, if that's all we get today, is that Jesus is bringing a kingdom that is different, coming through his death on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, well, you learn something true and something good. And it's good to be reminded of that. But let's try to take it further so that we can hear something more about us instead of just what they thought back then and what we think a little bit better about. We'll keep looking at Peter and the disciples. See, they couldn't see. that the enemies that are out there, like the Romans, like the unrighteous, the ones that take the glory and the gold and the riches and the might that stand in their way of them and take them away, that maybe could be defeated if there was just more glory, more gold, more riches, more might. Well, those enemies out there, they're not the problem. They're not the big problem. Sin and death and hell and uncleanness inside us and corrupts us and then everything that we touch. Well, that's the problem. You see, men, we can try to fight it. Men do try to fight the problems. They try to bring more glory. They say, fight with what we know how to fight with. It's kind of like King Midas with his touch of gold, who thought that he'd get riches and glory and honor, that he'd make something beautiful with the gold. Yet his attempts at more glory, more riches, they turned his very food to lumps of gold in his stomach. They destroyed and brought death to his daughter. Even at his best, he couldn't help. And we should note, too, that like the disciples and their idea of what the kingdom of God should look like, that Jesus calls a hindrance, that he calls of Satan, that our corruption of sin, just like that touch of King Midas, well, it spreads most especially, even and maybe even most especially, when we think that we're doing good, when we think that we're making gold. You see, sin shines like gold. It promises a lot more than we actually get from it. It promises if we just manage to yell a little louder our positions, if we just vote a little better, if we just work a little harder, we'll make things better. And that's sin. It's the things of man. It's not of God. God taught about this throughout Scripture. He taught about it in the Old Testament. He taught about uncleanness, corruption, even sin. That a cloth, a mildew, a dish, that whatever was unclean, whatever it touched, that was also unclean. That before something could be of use, before it was good for use, it needed to be made clean. And sometimes that meant it had to be destroyed and remade completely. Otherwise, the uncleanness would just spread. And that the only way that something could be declared clean was if God himself, through his priest, through his representative, declared it clean. And Jesus talked about the darkness in our hearts, that out of the heart the mouth speaks, that we see the uncleanness of what's in us by what comes out from us. We see that our insides are dirty and sinful and unclean, and that brings death. And so what does he teach? That man himself must be destroyed and made new. And he goes to the cross so that our sinful selves die with him, that we can be born anew. He gives us his word and he gives us his baptism. He gives us baptism into his cross to make us new, that we can arise new men, sins forgiven, children of God. God changes things. When Jesus walked the earth, because God was acting, what he touched became clean. When he touched even unclean lepers, they became clean. When he touches sinners like us with his word and with his sacraments, when he connects us to his cross, where he shed his blood for us, we become clean. That is the thing of God. That is the kingdom of God that he brings. And these are some good thoughts. But Jesus doesn't ask us to stop at thoughts today. Thoughts themselves are not the kingdom of God. We do have good thoughts, and it's good that we have them. And it's good that we confess those thoughts, we confess those truths. But I'll point out that just last week, just in the passage before this one, Peter had a great thought. The one revealed to him by God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. A great confession. But then today, while he confessed that God was present and working, he then treated God. He treated Jesus as only a man. Not as the one who redeems us, whose kingdom is not of this world, but only a man, who's limited to the means of men, who can only put a veneer of gold to cover up the corruption. It can get us looking at the glory and not see the rot inside. And how much we're willing to do the same thing as Peter and the other disciples. How often we do the same, we act like the kingdom of God will come through our work, through our vote, through our finances, that we will give God a gift. And in the end, we point then to a gold veneer. How often our worries, our lives are made up mainly about money and jobs and harvests, things that we think we can do something about. Pocketbook issues that we vote on. And even when we think we can do something about them, how often we then complain when they don't go quite the way we intended them to. And somehow we think that that's the kingdom of God. We think that's the thing of God. Now, I don't want to confuse you too much here. Our vocation is of God. What we do as husbands and wives, as workers, as citizens, all that can be of God, but it's not the kingdom of God. The emphasis of saying that vocation is of God is not on our vocation, but on the of God. In the end, today, God would remind us our vocation, whatever it might be, is not our life. Our life is bound up with Christ. And he goes to a cross. Jesus tells us we have a life beyond money, beyond jobs, beyond harvests. That if the only life we have is money and jobs and harvests, and even family and people we care about, and even our fulfillment in that, if we find that we live to work or we live to be a parent, he tells us that that's the life we will lose. That instead, live the life joined to Christ, picking up your cross, following him. God is faithful. And he raises us just as he raised Christ on the third day. But we cannot see this salvation if our mind is on the things of man. If our mind is on death and even more on how to avoid it. Instead, we see this salvation when we trust Christ, when we trust God with our life. Trust Christ as he goes to the cross. Pick up your cross and follow him. And then you'll see the true glory of God that nothing in this world can offer. Life from death. Family, being sons of God and heirs of the promise made reality. We see the Son of God coming in his glory as our life is with him. You see, there is someone who has solved all the world's problems. And it's not us at the coffee table, nor is it us in our job, nor is it us as teachers or parents or wherever else we are. It's Christ at the cross. And if that's where our lives are, that's where our problems are solved, that's where sin is defeated and life is given, if it is from that side of Jesus pierced at the cross from which the water of life flows, where there is a river flowing from that place, where the tree of life grows for the healing of the nations, let life come from him. Remain in him. And he will heal the nations. Remain in him. And he'll bring life to the world as he redeems it. Let go of the things of man that stand in our way. Hold on to him with all that you have. Follow him to the cross. And there we see life coming. There we see Christ coming in his glory with his kingdom. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.